You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Radio Rehab. I am very excited to introduce our guest to you today, and it ties in beautifully to the C.K. Newsom Center's program and Vectren and WEOA today, bringing women and celebrating women into our community this weekend. I have a guest that has been a real friend of Radio Rehab, a friend of recovery in the community, has spent the last 10 years building a program for women that need to get clean and sober a little bit past their treatment experience. Dee Lewis is the coordinator of the women's program at the YWCA. And I've known Dee for a long, long time, since the Mulberry Center days and drug court days. She definitely aligns herself with the treatment community, the recovery community, the addicted individual and their children and their family. And she is a woman of true empowerment toward women getting better and helping their families stay clean and sober. So she's coming and telling us about herself today and some of her challenges and opportunities as a woman working with women. My God, they have a 24-bed facility there at the YWCA, and she's been there 10 years. That means she's probably dealt with over 2,000 women. I can't even imagine. So anyway, she's our guest today. But before I introduce her, I got a letter from a fan. We get a lot of letters here at Radio Rehab that wanted us to mention, and I appreciate this letter. One of the women that graduated college with her daughter had a newspaper article a couple of weeks ago. Janet Miller and her daughter graduated college together. Both of them had to deal with Janet's addiction and now her recovery, and they're graduating college together. What an awesome thing to share in your family, both of them getting their college degrees together. And this person that wrote to Radio Rehab said she deserves mention, and you're right. Whoever wrote that to us, this woman, Janet Miller, does deserve mention. She's turned into a great role model for her daughter. So we want to honor her today as a woman of empowerment as well and good recovery. So good luck, Janet, and your daughter also. All right, I think that's it for me. I want to introduce Dee, and we'll talk to Dee for the next hour. If you want to call in, ask questions, please do. We want to be sure that this show brings you information and education and sharings that would be pertinent to you in your home, however you live in your home. So we honor that. We celebrate women today along with WEOA and The Pump, and I'm going to now turn it over to my friend Dee. Hi, Dee. Thank you so much for coming and celebrating this day with us.
Not a problem. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lisa asked me to give a little background on myself. I am a 40-ish woman. I'm not going to tell my real age.
You don't look it.
Well, thank you. I was born and raised in Florida. Most people know the location of Destin. I was raised right outside a little town called Funex Springs, Florida. Some people may know it and some people may not know it. I was born into a family that my father was an alcoholic. There was alcoholism in the family. There was domestic violence that comes along with alcoholism. At the age of 2, my parents divorced. So there I was raised by a single female who never remarried, who raised 4 kids.
Wow.
We turned out to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. So the addiction has always been around me. If it wasn't from my father, there was family members. And, you know, it doesn't just start with one member of the family. There's usually more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Being raised by a single woman, I was introduced to a lot of different things, because the community that I was raised in is one of the communities that we no longer have, is that the whole community raised a child.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom had to work, so there was the neighbors and family and cousins and everything that watched one another to make sure, because the parents was out working. So
it was a true village.
It was a true village, a very, very true village. We moved into a subdivision that was like 8 houses when I was 8 years old, and it was basically family members and friends and everything that lived in that community. My mom got up every morning and went to work. We pretty much got up and went to school. I was that whoops child, which means that my mom was like 37 years old when she had me. So the age difference between me and my siblings were kind of large. There's 5 years between me and my brother. There's 8 years between me and one of my sisters. And then there was 11 years between me and my older sister.
You really were the baby.
So I was the baby of the family. So my siblings basically raised me. Because my mom was out working and everything.
Sure.
I'm not taking away from my mom.
Sure.
But my siblings also took part of raising me and everything. So coming from different views and everything of your siblings, everybody has their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
Later on growing up and everything, there was one in my family that did become addicted. And to be surprising, it wasn't from alcohol. And it was from cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was addicted to cocaine for years and years. Right now, he is clean, which we celebrate every day that he is clean. My brother is doing well. So that what kind of brought me to the addiction part and everything. When I first started out, I thought I wanted to, you know, like everybody else, be a nurse or something like that. So I worked in the health field for a while. I actually worked at Welborn Hospital and went on to work with St. Mary's a little bit. I went back to school because I thought, well, I could do more than what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to school, I started going back to school, taking 2 or 3 classes every now and then. I decided that I wanted to do social work because I was more of a people person. So at that point, I came out of the hospital setting and went into where I'm at now, the YWCA, which I will be there 10 years next year. And I found that I had a knick for working with women of substance abuse.
Definitely.
So we started the program that I'm actually over will celebrate 10 years in March of next year.
Wow.
Of helping women that suffers from alcoholism, substance abuse. And just doing that, about 5 years ago, we started seeing that it wasn't just necessary the women that we had to look at. We had to look at the children that was affected from it.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 years ago, we started working with CPS, and we started helping women who were suffering from substance abuse to be able to regain custody of their children once the children had been removed from the homes. So it has been a great adventure over the last 9 years, going on 10.
What an evolution from just the woman to now the women and what she's attached to, her children.
The women and the children. We sometimes forget about the children
Yes.
being the victim, too.
Yes.
Whether we are drinking or in a domestic violence relationship, which the Y both do substance abuse and we do domestic violence, and we also work with young girls that are at risk through our LiveWire program, which has been up and running for years. I can't even tell you when it started. So that's another thing that we look at and everything. And doing that, we have also looked at protecting the baby when it's being carried. We have, we celebrated a new baby this week. On the 3rd of this month, which was just a few days ago, we had a baby boy born to a woman who has been clean for over a year.
Yay.
So, I mean, we also take in infants, too, and we make sure that they are taken care of and make sure that woman has every resource that she needs to take care of that baby. But that was our 8th baby, and that is something that we were very proud about.
Yes.
We have probably reunited women, probably 15 women or more, to get back their kids and still have their kids in the family. And CPS is no longer in the picture of it. So there's a lot of different things that we work with. And there's a lot of things that the community is opening their eyes to and recognizing. But we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And dealing with this disease. which a lot of people don't see it as a disease, but it is so much of a disease. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think anybody ever wakes up in the morning time and say, you know what, I think I'm going to be an addict this
and
week.
And lose my kids and my freedom. And, yeah, no.
Nobody wakes up to that.
No.
So, in the sense of that, you really have to look at it. This is a close community, but we still have a long way to go regarding women and substance abuse, because if you really look at it, like we were talking earlier, Lisa, a lot of reason why women don't go to treatment is because of the children. They don't want to lose their kids. Mm-hmm. And they know that if they admit to having a problem, then there comes a chance of losing their kids. So they won't go to treatment, and they continue to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Until it gets to the point that they no longer can control it.
Do you think that's one of the main differences between females that are addicted and males? The females that are addicted are worried about their children, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we look back over time and everything, women has always been behind-the-door users.
Mm-hmm.
From the 60s, you know, when we were introduced to Valium,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Valium and the birth control pill,
yes.
Both at the same time.
Yes. You take that birth control pill, but you got to have that Valium to steady those nerves.
That's right.
So,
no,
I mean, we've always did those things. A lot of women, there is a large number of women, there's alcoholics. I mean,
yes.
They're sociable accepted.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get the kids dressed and you send them off to school and everything, and you're left at home to clean and everything,
that's open the bottle.
We open that bottle.
Mm.
And a lot of us women start off with that wine bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets a little more. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we do behind closed doors that we keep behind closed door because we will not be accepted
yeah.
out in the community. I mean,
it's
sociable. For a man to go out and drink, but for a woman to go out and drink, you know, we're frowned upon
mm-hmm.
doing that. And so we do it in secret.
I've always said a man that's a drunk is still called a man. A woman that's a drunk is called everything but a woman.
Oh, that is so true.
And you know, Betty Ford, when she came out in the 70s and said she was an alcoholic, that really did open the floodgates for women. You never saw women till she came out of hiding with her alcoholism.
That is so true.
She really opened the doors for women.
So true.
But I think you're right. There's still that denial and minimizing and rationalizing and fear. What will people think? And even in our program, I've noticed a female drunk driver, everybody sits around the table saying, oh, my gosh, she was driving with her kids in the car. They don't say it with a male drunk driver.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not at all.
Yeah.
Not
so there is still that attitude that people have when it's a woman that's addicted. It's much worse.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, and like you said, whoa, she was racing down the Lord Expressway and she was under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't hear all those stories about men getting pulled over for DUIs and everything.
So do you, with the women that come into your program, and maybe hopefully after break you tell us a little about the program you have built. It's your hands, your heart, your team. Do you have to deal with teaching them and educating them about the stigma they have to face as being women in recovery?
Oh, definitely. Every day we go out to look for a job.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I mean, my women are required to have jobs.
And the stigma.
If you think about it, a lot of us behind the door, living in a man household, we don't work.
So you come to the Y and don't know how to even...
We don't have
applies.
Skills.
Right, wow.
And I mean, the women think they don't have skills, but yet they do have skills, and we have to work upon the skills that they have and to be able to give them the self-esteem that, oh, you can do this,
mm-hmm.
when they've been told that they can't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot of different things. And
truly rebuilding their lives from the Humpty right. Dumpty, all the way from the start on up.
Correct. Mm. And just like a lot of women stay in domestic violence situation because of the financial cost, a lot of women who are substance abuse users stay in a relationship because of the financial
burden. The economics.
Burden, yeah. Mm-hmm. That they can't do it if they do it. If they go out on their own, they can't
it's
do
true.
It.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're looking at that, and every day that you go out, and you have to be honest on those applications and tell them the truth, you get hurt for telling the truth.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the number one thing in recovery is honesty.
Yes.
Okay? And when you're honest, a lot of doors get closed in your face because...
Geez, what an order we have in our homes and communities. Hi, everybody. We're glad to be back with Dee Lewis, that coordinates the Substance Abuse Services Program at the YWCA here in Evansville. She takes care of lots and lots of women that are there for several months, and maybe she'll tell us a little about her program. Before break, we were talking about honesty and what honesty means, and we were laughing that along with alcoholism and addiction comes denial. And we decided denial stands for don't even know I am lying. So we were talking about honesty, and welcome back, Dee. Let's pick up from there. How do you know, when your women, do they know when they're being honest? Do they even know if they're not being honest, or how important it is for them to have long-term recovery to be honest?
No.
They don't even get it yet.
They don't even get it. They don't even understand that one of the things that we do is that we try to set them up on what we call a daily planner. And what that basically is that we try to plan out our day the night before. And the main thing about doing that is that because being impulsive is something that gets us in trouble. So we try to plan our day and see what all we have to do and accomplish that on that day. Well, and doing that daily planner and everything.
Yeah, you guys are tough about that planner.
Yeah.
I just remembered that.
If it's not written on there, you don't do it.
Right. You don't even bend for 10 seconds.
No.
Got to have a plan.
Yeah. So one of the things I always tell the women is that if you're going somewhere, you go there. You don't stop off and just because you see somebody. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to Old Stone to a 12 o'clock meeting, I'm going to Old Stone. That don't mean that, oh, I'm out of cigarettes, I'm going to go down to the BP station and get me a pack of cigarettes. Because you can just stumble upon trouble.
Wow.
And being women, we are notorious for stumbling upon trouble.
For sure.
So one of the things is that...
stumbling upon trouble, I love it.
We don't do it.
Right.
So one of the things...
So it's got to be in their plan?
Right.
Or they can't even go get a cigarette?
Can't even go get cigarettes.
You guys are in the army up there at that YWC.
No. We got a plan. We got a budget. We got to be able to survive once we leave the Y. And that's what we're trying to teach.
I'm just teasing you.
I know. But that's what we're trying to teach them. I've been called warden and everything else.
Sergeant in arms. Colonel D. That's okay. You're right. Planning. How does planning and honesty, though? That's interesting. To have a plan has something to do with honesty.
Yeah. Let's say we're going job searching. Okay, we're required to fill out 6 applications a day when we're looking for a job.
Wow.
And the reason why we say 6 applications a day is because we say from 9 a.m. to 12, you're going to job search. You should be able to put in 3 applications somewhere. Then we say you come back to the facility, you get you some lunch, and at 1 o'clock, we're back out there to 4 o'clock. So you should be able to put in 6 applications a day. If you put in 6 applications a day, 5 days a week, you put in 30 applications, you're going to get a job.
So you have an expectation when they come to live with you that they will be working.
That they will be working within 60 days. Our whole goal is to get them working in 60 days.
Back to that self-esteem, do a lot of women just think nobody's going to want to hire me? I don't have any teeth. I've been on crack cocaine all my life. I've lost my kids. I mean, do they come in thinking who's going to want me?
Oh, definitely. And one of the things that we work upon doing is that in those first 60 days, you know, we're still working with treatment. We're still having to go to treatment. We start signing them up for like Echo Clinic. Echo has been the most wonderful health care system here in Vanderbilt County for
us. They are incredible.
And I just want to say thank you to Echo Clinic and all their staff.
And Carol and their good team, yes.
And they're very good about helping those who can't help themselves. And I think a lot of us look at those who go to Echo Clinic as being somebody who's just looking for a free handout. But we know with the economy that we have right now, a lot of us can barely afford health insurance.
I know it.
So with
let alone medication.
There, yeah. With Echo being there and supporting us through that, we're able to get our women on the medication they
need. Physically healthy.
Get them physically healthy to go out there. And we also, with Echo, they also have that dental clinic. I want to give props to that brand new dental clinic that's been around for a few years. And what the dental clinic does is that they make it affordable that my women can get their teeth fixed.
Oh, that's
awesome. And we also have some organizations that that will help with their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
My women aren't looking for a free handout. They're willing to work for what they need, but we have to give them a chance to do it.
Well, and it sounds like what you said, a lot of them don't realize that they can help themselves. Because when they come to you, they really can't literally help themselves. They don't know how. They don't know what's best for them.
No.
So you truly have to put Humpty Dumpty piece by piece back together so they can realize they can help themselves. They go from I can't to I can.
Yes. And we do that on a daily basis. We remind them, you can do it.
They're so torn down, women, alcoholics and addicts.
Yes,
yeah.
They are. I mean,
do you see a difference between the alcoholics and the drug addicts?
Yes. I do see a difference. Alcohol is sociable.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing. It's legal.
Yeah.
But let me tell you the number one thing that's beginning to really...
The relapse, yes.
The relapse.
Alcohol. God.
Alcohol. There's a liquor store on every corner.
Right. And that my problem was drugs, not alcohol.
Yeah. Alcohol. I don't have a problem with alcohol. And they don't see alcohol as being a problem. That alcohol's not my...
Can they drink when they're in your program?
No. No drinking.
No alcohol. No,
no
mood-altering chemicals. Good.
No mind-altering
Good.
Chemicals. We are very leery about the medication that they're given when they may have a procedure done as simple as your teeth pull. All of us know that every time we go to the dentist and get a tooth pulled, what's the first prescription we get?
Lortab.
Lortab!
Yep.
And we're like...
That's the common pain medication. But yeah, I think they don't understand for addicts how deadly that is.
That is very deadly. But we have a new one that's up on the rise, and
it's not
even classified as
an opiate.
A narcotic.
What's that?
Ultram. Or the...
Tramadol.
Tramadol.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a problem. A very high problem.
Your women are coming in with prescriptions for that?
We're coming in with Tramadol prescriptions.
Out of Echo? Or just out of their
Echo
doctors?
Echo has been very good. Echo,
they understand addiction.
They understand the program.
Yeah.
And we have been working with Echo long enough that Echo is very good about 800 milligrams ibuprofen you can take. They are very good about watching what they give the women.
Well, their administration are all, Carol Codler Smith, they're all educated about alcoholism and drug addiction. Maybe we need to go back to educating people about it.
And I think that's something we really need to go back to educating people for.
Doctors, pharmacists, yeah.
And one of the great things that they are putting together and that the pharmacies are working on is that they're communicating better. And that's the most wonderful thing, because when you're communicating, there's a less chance of people pharmacy hopping. And that's
alias name. You get all those up at that Y, don't you?
Oh,
these women come in with all the different names.
And we don't have skills.
And they don't have
and
any
that's
skills.
That's a skill.
You're right.
That is
it
a
takes
skill.
A lot of skill to stay addicted. In
it's
a way.
A lot, it takes a lot of skill to
You're
stay
right.
addicted.
You're right.
Oh,
if they could
skill.
Convert that to a strengths perspective.
We would be good.
Yeah.
And another thing you have to think of, too, whenever you have a woman that's applying for a job that is in a program like the YWCA, that is the best employee you can hire. And the reason why is because we're going to make sure they get up and go to work, because that's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make sure that they're drug-free, because we randomly test breathalyze, UA testing. And you're getting an employee that's drug-free and that's going to be committed to getting up and coming to work every day. And I have had women start off at McDonald's, who we were laughing about and joking about earlier, that is no longer on the front line, that are now managing McDonald's.
That's amazing.
And I mean, they were women that nobody thought they could do it. And now I have former clients that are... I know of three McDonald's that are in management positions.
Isn't that amazing? That used to make, I know one made hundreds of dollars a day prostituting.
Oh, yeah.
And now is making just a couple hundred a week and is proud of herself.
Yeah.
That whole prostitution thing, that's the other thing I've noticed with women that are addicted. And women alcoholic, too. They may not sell it for money, but there's the promiscuity, the all that sexual stuff. So you have to deal with that, I bet, too, when they come in.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, the number one thing we try, and we try to hook them up with sponsors. Sponsors are the most important thing for any woman that's struggling.
From the 12-step program, sponsors?
From the 12-step program. And if you get you a good sponsor and you're working with your sponsor, that sponsor is going to help you. And the first thing that most sponsors says are what, Lisa?
Don't get in a relationship for a year.
For a year.
Yeah.
Now.
And how long do you get them at the Y?
They actually stay with us from 8 months.
Ooh.
It's the agreement that they sign is 8 months, and they can stay up to 2 years with me.
Oh, my gosh. So, that's great. And do you think most women, well, and men too, but women need 8 months coming out of treatment?
Oh, they definitely need 8 months.
Yes.
Because you think about it. We were talking earlier about the first 60 days. The first 60 days is going to treatment.
Just reorienting.
Yeah. Just getting on a schedule.
Getting a plan, as you say.
Getting a plan. We got to do that planner. Getting on a schedule.
That is so anti-normal for an alcoholic addict to have a plan or a routine. So that's your first goal, to get them some structure.
To get them some structure.
How long does that take?
Oh, 8 months.
Does it? Really? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It takes. And I have had women leave and take a stack of my planners with them because that's what they were used to. Mm. And they wanted to keep that part in their daily routine. Is that, you know, the night before I sit down, I look at my daily planner and I look at my pocket calendar and I put everything that I have appointments for, make sure that I go check in if I got to go check in. Because when you get to different levels, and even in the drug court and even in the YWCA program, you get a little more freedom. And with freedom comes responsibility to be able to still do what you're supposed to do with little structure.
Is that, and when we come back from break, I'd really like for you to talk more about, especially for our community, are one of the signs to you that a woman is in recovery when she is still planning and structuring her day, even when she has the freedom?
Yes, definitely.
So that's when you really separate the, so to speak, men from the boys, once they get more freedom, how they handle that.
I see it as I no longer have a little girl. I got a woman.
Mm. And you can tell then
you
how they're doing just by the way they plan their day?
Just by the way they plan their day and the way they dress.
The way they dress, too?
The way they dress.
Interesting.
And we'll talk about the way they dress a little more when we come back off the break. But dressing is the key to everything. And how you see me.
Ooh.
Because you're judging me from my outside.
Yes.
You have never taken the time to know me inside.
Yeah, and your outside may make you not even want to look inside.
Right. And it's amazing.
Oh, wow.
It is amazing how I can take someone into a program and just give them a little self-esteem and make them realize that they're somebody, that they will come from that person, and you can see them later and not even realize it's the same person.
Isn't that something? That transformation.
That transformation, and all it is I'm worth. They find out their self-worth.
And you can see it.
And you can
just
see
in
it
everything.
From the way they carry themselves.
Awesome. Okay, Radio Rehab, don't go away. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call. Anything about women, moms, sisters, anything about the YWCA, Dee is here to answer our questions.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we are back, and have had a wonderful discussion with Dee Lewis, who is the coordinator of the Substance Abuse Services Programs for the YWCA, has been working with women, empowering women, and helping rebuild women for almost a decade now. So we're back, and we're gonna finish up just talking about, I asked Dee at break, for those of us that have family members, sisters or daughters or mothers or neighbors or coworkers that we think might have a problem with drugs or alcohol, what do we look for and what do we do, Dee? Because it is different with a woman, and we probably have to approach women differently.
You're going to have to approach a woman really different because we're so good at hiding. Being from the South, being raised in Florida and everything, one of the things that my grandmother said to me that always stick with me is that a woman is supposed to be seen and not heard.
Yeah. Is that still in us?
That's still in us. Mm-hmm. Women are taught that we sit back. We don't say anything. We don't complain. Mm-hmm. We just go with the flow. And going with the flow sometimes bring us to the point that we no longer can go with the flow because there's so much put on our plate and there's so many things that we have to do that we have to take the edge off something.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a friend of yours that have to take the edge off every day,
yeah,
we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a friend that can make it through the week, but yet on the weekend, you can't talk to them because they're so foregone, they're so drunk, or they're so
unavailable. Yeah.
That's a sign. Some people say, I'm a functioning alcoholic.
I hear that all the time anymore. What the heck's that mean?
And that's something that was functioning.
They bring in a paycheck. That's it.
I had a female in my program, and I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about once I start talking. She had a wonderful, good job at Gibbs.
Yeah.
Worked
there for years. Yes, yes.
Functioning alcoholic.
Yep, that's true.
And what she did was she only drank in her home. She never got a DUI.
Right.
She only had her drink once she got home and once she got in the house.
The fifth a day.
Yeah. And what started happening, eventually it started flowing over into her job.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was having trouble getting up to go. And she started calling in, started missing. You know, and that's when someone must have saw that, hey, there's something really going on with her. And that's something. It's not that you're being nosy. It's that you care. And caring is something that I think all of us need to get back into. We're so busy and so wrapped up in our own life that it can be right up under our nose. It could be your sister. It could be your child.
I get a lot of calls from moms that are concerned about their kids. And I tell them, deal with your kid when your kid, you know, is sober, not when they're intoxicated, and tell them we're going to go somewhere and get some help. But these moms, within 24 hours, a lot of them change their mind because the kid wormed their way in or out of their heart again.
Right. And tough love is hard. It's hard to be tough on somebody who you care about.
Yeah.
But if you're not tough on them, who is?
Yeah.
And
if we can't say no to them, how are they going to say no to drugs?
Right, right. If you are letting your kid go out, stay out late at night, and you're not seeing them when they walk in the door.
Pretty irresponsible.
Yeah, we need to pay attention because our kids are getting into it.
Do you think a lot of moms and probably dads too just think, well, all kids are doing it? I did it when I was a kid. Do you hear that from your women a lot?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get on my kid. I did the same thing when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. And definitely, because a lot of my females first used with a family member.
When they were a teenager, probably.
When they were a teenager. Because I think that a lot of people, and I know back in the days that I was growing up, a lot of people thought that, well, if you let them go ahead and try it, it's safer to know that they're doing it instead of not knowing because at least they're doing it at home.
Yeah, there's still a lot of that mentality.
Well, no.
Yeah, it needs to change.
We go from just doing it at home to doing it outside.
For sure. Plus, when you and I were out there, the drinkers just stuck with the drinkers, and the druggies were over here with the druggies. Now they're all at the same party.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're drinking and impaired, what's the chance you're going to use something else? Pretty high if it's there in front of your face.
Yeah. And then being a female, well, what comes along with that?
Yeah.
That's when we run into the domestic violence, the sexual assaults. And we have a lot of young girls who's being
abused
and taken advantage of.
Do they realize it?
They don't realize it. When you're out there partying and drinking and carrying on,
they think it goes with the
territory. You have no control.
No.
At that point, you just very vulnerable. And somebody's going to take advantage of you. There's always somebody out there preying on the young girls who are out there partying. And that really should be a really good, big concerns of parents.
Yes. Do you do parenting programs with your women up there?
We actually have people come in and do parenting classes for us and everything. That is one thing that we want to really make sure that we take care of, is because we want them to be able to go back, be able to set boundaries with their kids. Because let's think of one other thing, too. If I have a mother who has a child that's probably 10 or 11 years old, that child's been running their household for a while.
Yeah.
Kids being the adults.
Yeah.
And you can actually see that in some of the relationships. And that's another sign. If you are a family member or if you're a friend of somebody and you see that the kid is more of the adult than the adult is, there may be something going on that you really may want to pay attention to. And by letting that kid be the adult already, what do that kid have to look forward to?
Right. Or they grow up and become 16 and think they're entitled to everything and anything. And then we're dealing with a generation of young people that feel entitled to everything.
And let's face it, we are in that generation right now that kids think we owe them.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why they see it as we owe them,
they've taken care of us.
They've taken care of us.
For sure. I never thought of it that way. That's true.
But there's a lot of things that we really, really need to pay attention to. And it's just care.
Yeah.
Just care a little to say, hey, is there
something
I can do?
But you're pretty tough. You've got the reputation at the YWCA of being the colonel.
Yeah.
So you care, though. So you can be fair and firm at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it takes, isn't it?
And it takes that, and I am somebody who's going to call you out on it.
You got to, because women need
you have to have somebody in your life that's going to call you out for what you do.
Sure.
And the one thing that I tried to teach my women, and every action, there's a consequence. If you're going to do the action, just remember, there's a consequence for it.
You're parenting 30- and 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
This is stuff you teach them when they're 10.
Yeah. Right now, I have an 18-year-old. An 18-year-old who has been using for a while. So how old is my 18-year-old really?
About
13, 12 years old.
Wow.
So we have temper tantrums.
Are you going to let her date?
Am I going to let her date? Oh, no.
At 18, they just want a date. No way, not at these Y.
And this is the second 18-year-old that we've had. And
what a challenge.
I mean, and right now my age range is 18 to 67.
That is awesome.
So I have a 67-year-old in there.
Oh my! So do they help the 18-year-old, and is there that sense of community in there? And I'm sure the
you
women
actually see women that are older trying to help the 18-year-old by some of the experience that they've had.
Yeah,
which they are like, you don't want to try that because there is a consequence if you do that. And no, you don't want to go in there and have to tell D you did that. But the number one thing that we were talking about earlier was honesty.
Yes.
And I truly believe in honesty. And what I tell each woman that I come in contact with, as long as you're telling me the truth, there's nothing we can't fix.
Mm.
But once you start not telling me the truth, I can't help you. So honesty is the number one thing. As long as you're coming to me and telling me what's what, yes, take the responsibility of what you did. Yes, I did do that.
Why is honesty? It's the same in our drug court program. Just be honest. Why the struggle to be honest? Do you think it's just hard to come to the boss with bad news? Why the struggle to be honest?
Well, honesty ain't gave us nowhere but a closed door in our face. And we were talking about that earlier. When I'm honest, you don't want me to talk. Yeah. And we were laughing about that. I said, you want me to be honest, but you're telling me to shut up at the same time because you don't want to hear what I got to say.
Yeah.
You can't have both. If I'm being honest, you also have to accept me for what I'm saying.
And you have to get over worrying about hurting their feelings.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
Girls, don't hurt the girl's feelings. Oh, you better hurt her feelings if it's life or death.
Yeah. And I have a lot of women that, you know, they don't like me when they first come into the program, but they end up being my best client.
Yeah, and they want your approval desperately, and they know they have to earn it. They don't get it just free. They have to earn it, and I think that's good.
And one of the things that I saw this week, and it was really something that I have a client that she doesn't talk very much, so that concerns me, you know, and I'm not really sure what's going on there.
And a quieter personality.
Yeah,
you mean?
And one of the things was that she's in a drug court program, and she was concerned that she hadn't been doing what she's supposed to be doing, and that she was going to go to jail because she was going to get a sanction for something. And she came in there, and she was all nervous and all worried and everything. And what I said to her was, the only thing I really said to her was when she got ready to leave, I said, oh, girl, I'll see you in a little bit. So she went to court. She got community service instead of having to spend time in jail.
Hmm.
Do you know when she got back to the facility, I was sitting in a chair with my back to the door. She ran up to me, bent over, and touched my shoulders, which this girl has not really communicated.
Not connected, yeah.
And she said, you were right. I didn't go to jail. And she had a smile on her face.
Mm.
And
I
said, I told you wasn't going. And I mean, just to be able to make
take
somebody.
Take that risk, and it worked.
Yeah. Mm. And she came back, and she's totally different. I was able to tell her case manager with the drug court that I spoke to yesterday, I was able to say, you know, this week is a good week.
Mm. So you not only have to take care of 24 women at a time, but you also have to report on their progress to different places, too, and to them.
Correct.
Jeez.
And out of the 24 women that I have, only one I don't have to report on. The other 23 I have
to be accountable somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Dee, talking to you has just been an eye-opener, really. There are so many women that need you and need the YWCA program. How does a woman that might be addicted get to you?
All you have to do is call 422-1191 and ask about the Transitional Housing Recovery Program. And with that, if you don't have a phone, all you have to do is come to 118 Vine Street and put in an application for the program. The doors are open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
My goodness. You can come
put in an application anytime.
That's great.
If you just need to call and talk to somebody, whether it be domestic violence or substance abuse, we also have a crisis line. If you are unable to, if you have to use a payphone, which is very rare, if you dial 1-877-YWA, and let me tell you what, YWCA, it's 1-877-4-F-O-R-YWCA. And that would get you through the crisis line that someone would be able to help you.
Wow.
So
What an opportunity. Yeah. What a wonderful thing in the community. We need more of these.
Oh, we need so much more. And one of the things, if anybody take anything from what I've said today, is that we need to be more family-based. And by saying that, we need to come up, sit down as a community, and come up with a way to provide care for our women, which is the strong foundation of a family, to be able to address their issue and have their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would love to see is for us to come up with some type of housing for a woman to be able to address those issues and her kids remain with her. And I think we will make a stronger community because we're going to have a stronger woman taking care of these kids who are our future and who's going to have to take care of us.
And in the theme of empowering our women, that the pump is promoting in Vectren today at CK Newsom. You're talking about promoting our women by empowering them as family members and their children as well.
Correct.
Great message. Thank you so much for coming.
Not a problem.
So anybody that wants to talk to Dee can call the YWCA 422-1191. If you know somebody that you're concerned about needs help, I think Dee is always available. She always has been. And pop in and see her and say hi. I hate to go. There's so much more we could talk about, especially about our women and our women's children and our neighbors. So in tying in with the theme, empowering our women this weekend, love each other, pay attention to each other. And as Dee says, help each other have a plan. A plan is key, right, Dee?
And care.
A plan and a care. That's right, a plan and a care. Well, Radio Rehab, it's been great visiting with you again this week. We'll be back next week. But until then, don't forget to do the next right thing.